I trust you have your message notes titled, It's Always Too Soon to Quit. It was my hope that we would study and exegete the book of Acts together, and that maybe then I might be retiring. But we're only in chapter 18, and next weekend we will be retiring. So hopefully, if there's another preacher amongst you that would like to continue where I will leave off in chapter 18 today and carry the church through this marvelous book that the Holy Spirit is saying to us, if we haven't picked up on it yet, this is how he wants to see each and every single one of you and me, to conduct ourselves as the church of Jesus Christ in the world. If there's ever a doubt on how we are to conduct ourselves, it's in the Bible and in the book of Acts in particular. The American church has missed the goalpost. We need to go back, some of us, and we need to start afresh and anew. Others of you, I just want to encourage you, keep it up. Keep it up, GHCC. You who have sacrificed so much, you who have been examples to the folks around you and to me, to see that that which has been taught by God the Holy Spirit and that I've been allowed to present to you, that you live it out. Thank you so very much. But for those of you that are still in the bleachers, amen. Get your fannies out of the bleachers. Get down on the playing field. Amen. It's time for you to join one of our six teams. Or maybe join two or three of those six teams, because they don't all have something going every single week. There is a place for you as a GHCC-er. That means whether if you consider this your church home, then there is a place for you. And it's waiting for some of you. So become part of the teams that Jesus says put together for his glory, his honor, and to do wonderful things in your life, through your life, to make a significant difference in the lives of others. Amen. And for others, but primarily for him, for you, Lord Jesus, for you, our Heavenly Father. Please, Holy Spirit, may you, as Kathy and I move into a new season, other ministry, may you come upon Eugene, Pastor Eugene, our teacher Eugene. May you come upon him and Chris and Gary and do things that you've been holding in abeyance, waiting for the old guy to get lost, whatever it is. But to do new and wonderful things for your glory, Father.
Amen.
Please, may GHCC be made known in this valley, not just as a place where hurt Christians can come and be made well, but where Christians come and they grow in your grace and in your knowledge and go forward and do sweet things for you. They are known as sacrificial Christians, genuine Christians, Christians who get up every day and they follow after you. They take up their cross and they follow you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I hate these medicines. They just dry me out. And my Lord, for those that have found a tremendous love for you and are obeying you out of love, they're loving you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They want to fulfill that first commandment. They want to reach out to their neighbors and their friends and their teachers and their employers and their employees for your sake. I thank you, Father. I mean, this morning we've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people heard the gospel. 7, my Lord. Now, why don't you turn them red? I mean, not here in front of us is a miracle or something. I mean, that would be cool. But more and more and more. May this never end, Father. May it just become fuller and fuller and fuller over the course of the year. So it is always too soon to quit. Kathy and I, we're not quitting. I'm worn out. Honestly, I never thought I would stand before you in that chair I push around to help with balance at the time being. Well, if you'd move in your notes to verse 1 of chapter 18, that might be page 11 maybe. We've been here, but I just want to go through this exceedingly quickly. And there's so much to say just out of a full heart. But verse 1, the Holy Spirit, remember, he gave us this book because he wants you and I to live it. He wants you and I to live it. This book is an action step. Normally, I break the book down as we go through these passages, and I give you action steps that make it clear that you understand this is what he said, and now this is what he's saying he wants you to do as an individual, and what he wants us to do as a church family. After this, after Paul got the word from the Holy Spirit, it's time to move on from Athens. It's time to go up to Corinth. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. We look at the books of the Bible sometimes, and we don't see ourselves in them. And I want to just resume and push you, see yourself in the living, active Word of God. The reason he gave it to us is for us to know it and to live it. So it is there for us to put into practice. Amen. Our families will be wonderfully changed if we live like the Bible tells us to. Our families will be different. We won't have Christians and real Christian families divorcing. They won't divorce. Because that husband loves his wife with all those character qualities we see in the fruit of the Spirit. There's no way she's going to give up this guy who lives like that. And there's no way this guy's going to give up his spouse who lives like that character, those character qualities seen in the Holy Spirit. All he and she is going to do is say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What did I ever do to deserve this?" And I'll tell you, nothing. Nothing. She is a gift to you, that Christian wife who lives the character qualities out. And he is that gift to you, ladies, if he's living out those character qualities. So while there's character qualities there, to just say, "Oh, look at this. The Holy Spirit is marvelous." He is. He really is. But he is showing you these things because you, dad, you, husband, you wife, you mom are to be living this way, not ignoring it. This is what you're called to do. And throughout this book, we have been called, start moving and share the gospel. Our Lord has you here to share his gospel. Our Lord has you here to be a blessing to him. Our Lord has you here to accomplish his goal that he may bless you tremendously. Do great things. Our Lord has done marvelous things over these almost 43 years of ministry that Kathy and I have had. And we have gone through the meat grinder, but he has been so good to us as well. And Kathy, if she were in here now, we love you so very much and thank you so very much for coming alongside and being the supporters that God wanted you to be. So, Corinth. Corinth is not different, no different than Los Angeles. It's no different than the United States of America. Really? Yeah, it's no different. Maybe clothing, maybe the names of people that we honor and give glory to, but I mean, how many television programs do we have that the gods of America show up on? I mean, they have award ceremonies every year, throughout the year, for themselves. And we watch it. No, I don't watch them, but so many Christians watch them. Look at them. They're getting an Oscar. Who gives a rip? Who gives a rip? She ran around on film naked. He ran around on film chasing her naked. I don't get any Oscars at home when I used to chase Kathy around. We don't have an emperor, but we have presidents. We have these guys called governors. We have mayors, and we worship them. Don't tell me we don't. You may say, I don't worship that one. Well, okay, but you worship some of them. We didn't have an emperor, but we got these politicians. The city in Corinth was rich and alive with commerce. You ever been down to San Pedro? You ever been to the port of Los Angeles? Man, you're gonna get run over by a truck if you're not careful. We have goods coming from all over the world here, just as it was happening in Corinth. We have the athletic games. In 2 years, we're gonna have the Olympics here. Just like they had the Olympics back then. We're not only going to have the Olympics, but we've got the Lakers, we've got the Clippers, we've got the Angels, we've got the Dodgers. How about those Dodgers? They're really doing badly, aren't they? And you're paying $100 a pop to go see them. So, we've got those same things. They had exotic religions back in those days. They had all of these different names for mythological gods and goddesses, and we've come to know through the Apostle Paul that behind every one of those mythological gods, there is a demon that was being worshipped. And we have them here. When I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, I came here in 1949. I was 4 years old. And we didn't have Mormon temples. We didn't have Buddhist temples. We didn't have Hindu temples. But we do now. We have everything here that is elsewhere. It's all come and it's planted here. It was the same thing in Corinth. They thrived on slavery. Oh yeah, but for us, that was 150 years ago. No. If you've been following the news, out of the millions that have come across the border in the last 4 years, millions of those millions that came are children, little girls, amen, little boys. And they are now on the streets, and they are bringing customers to the little girls for sexual favors. Amen. The little boys, same thing. We have slavery going on now. Now, we don't have a guy that you call Massa, but you have pimps. When I was working Vice, I had 30 young ladies that everybody kidded about, but working Vice, I'm working one of the vices is prostitution. And I had 30 young ladies, and these ladies were of all stripes, all colors, all religions. During the day, they would come out of the high-rise buildings where I would be working, and they would come down out of the high-rise building, and they would go out and they would turn maybe 1 to 3 tricks during their lunch break and go back to work. And they would have made themselves an easy another $150, $200 to add to their paychecks. And these were white ladies, these were black ladies, these were Hispanic ladies, these were Asian ladies, and they all had their own pimps. These things are going on today. Today, you go over to Sepulveda. I'm not going to give you the locations, but there are certain locations, and they're working right now as we're in here learning from the Lord what He wants us to learn. It's going on right now, family. It hasn't changed. Their clothing's different. The places where they perform these things are different. They just have different names. If you would turn over, I think we're going to page 14 in your notes. Verses 2-4. And it says here, and he, that being Paul, found a Jew named Aquila and a native of Pontus, recently from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Now, if you go to map number 2 and you go over to the far right and at the top, you'll see a title there saying Pontus. That is where Aquila is from. But then if you go to map 1 in that same general area and go over to Italy, to the boot, you know, there you'll see Rome. And that's where he and Aquila have been kicked out from because they were Jewish. What was going on then is going on today. In America, Jewish people, God bless you. In America today, I've never seen this happening in America until the last 12 years. The Jews are being singled out this way and being beat upon. I haven't seen that in America. But I wasn't looking, nor was I alive in World War II, when Jewish people were trying to escape Europe, and there was even a ship full of Jewish people. They made their way to Cuba, and Cuba denied them entrance. But why in Cuba? They requested entrance into the United States. And Roosevelt, our president, our emperor, and those others in Congress said, no. We're not going to let them in. I didn't know that until recent years. But then I found out But of course they got in somewhere. They sure did. Right back in the Nazi Europe and went to the death camps. America turned their backs on Jewish people back then. Just as we see what's going on now here in our text in Rome. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, the emperor, commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, and they were tent makers by trade. Now, being a tent maker by trade is simply saying, yeah, they did make tents, but they worked with animal skins to make things that would be profitable, that they could make a living doing. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Now, we look at that and we say, okay, that's Paul. That's Paul. He's reasoning in the synagogue. Makes sense. He's a Jew. And he's gone to them because Jewish people, they're familiar with the Old Testament. They don't necessarily know it. It's like a lot of Christians. They don't know their New Testament. They don't even know how the New Testament's laid out, how one book after the other. Kathy's been teaching our King's kids how to learn the books of the Bible, where they fit, and that kind of thing. Because a lot of Christians, they don't know. They don't know. I was talking to some Christians. They don't know the Ten Commandments. They know one is in there, isn't it? We're not supposed to lie or covet. What's the first one? What's the greatest one? I don't know. How can that be? How can that be? Well, anyway, he goes to the synagogue because the Jewish people are going to know the Old Testament, and he's going to be able to point out to them in the parchments, the Old Testament, here is Jesus of Nazareth, and he is the Messiah. He's the Christ. And he's able to argue those things with them, and many times successfully, because you and I know the church was born of Jews, Jewish people. Sometimes I find myself, I don't like saying Jews, because so oftentimes to just say Jews is denigrating, and it's not my intent to denigrate Jewish people. So while ministering in Athens, Silas and Timothy joined Paul for a short time, and they apparently heard a disturbing report of what was going on in Thessalonica, that there might be trouble there for the new church that they had planted there some months before. And to check on the progress and to offer assistance, Paul and Silas sent Timothy to go up there and see what was going on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, and verse 5, we see there, he says, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we just had to know, are they okay? Aren't they okay? What do they need? Do they need anything at all? Do you see that happening in local churches? I'm sorry to say, I don't. And if you have, tell me, and I'll be wonderfully glad and well informed. But churches just seem to kind of like, well, we're going to do our own thing. And if the church down the street needs help, well, so does our church need help. Therefore, when they could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. Remember, this is the letter to the Thessalonians. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that someone, that somehow the tempter, Satan, had tempted you and our labor was in vain. I do hope that Pastor Eugene and our elders and you, as you have friends in other churches, as you begin to come forth and to sacrifice and to make sure that Mama Church right here, GHCC, is well taken care of financially, well taken care of by you exercising your spiritual gift mix, fulfilling our vision as a church family. What vision's that, Pastor Ron? Our vision is in the directory, if you have one. If you have not seen our vision and our mission, then call Annette in the office. She'll send you a copy of that. And the six teams that we use to fulfill that mission and vision that you can be a part of. It's important to be sensitive around you to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ and be prepared to come alongside and help. And help. During Tim's absence, Paul decided to move to Corinth, leaving Silas in Athens and to wrap up the work there that he and Timothy had begun. It would be some time before Paul would again get to see his two key brothers in the missions core value team that had been traveling with him. Because we think that Paul is a hero of the faith, and I think he's a hero of the faith, but I also know he is a man just like me, someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe he probably loved him more. But he was the chief of sinners, he said. Chief. Not a captain or a sergeant. Chief. Head sinner. I'd like to argue about that at some point, but nonetheless, I too. But because we think he was a hero, we might think he confidently strode into Corinth, assessed the situation there as he moved among the people, listened to them, talked with them. But I don't think his first encounter was going to be quite what he was thinking. Morally, this was a place he hadn't visited yet. It was really corrupt. But I'm going to have to quit here. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is a confession. My confession. As I read it, the Holy Spirit just kept kind of flashing a mirror in my face. Not to convict me, but just to remember. Granada Hills Community Church, I want you to remember as Kathy and I move into this new season. We've always been known as a teaching church. We have had numbers and numbers in years past of men in particular, and a few women who wanted to be raised up to be teachers, preachers. And it was a joy to take the time out of my day or my night to meet with them and to teach them homiletics and how to teach, not just preach. But 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, Paul, And remember, this is a this is a Pharisee. He knows the Old Testament frontwards and backwards. It's memorized. And he's not a Sadducee. You know, the Pharisees believed that there was an afterlife. The Sadducees didn't believe there was an afterlife. He just disappeared. And I believe that that's why they were sad, you see. And I, when I came to you, Paul says, brothers, sisters too, did not, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming, I didn't come to you proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. When I came as in my last year of seminary, I'm a babe. I'm just beginning my last year of a mini theologue. I know next to nothing. And when I came to GHCC, it's like Paul. Did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech. I mean, you know that now. I still can't seem to do that. I'm just a teacher, just a regular guy. Nothing lofty. For I decided I know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. When that was our worship center over there, the Family Life Center, I laid on my face day after day, portions of day after day, towards the front of it, and had my Bible laid open before me and my journal, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed the scriptures, and I prayed and I prayed and I wrote and journaled answers that I found in scripture to questions I was asking. But you see, I found myself as something that was nearly empty, and I decided to know nothing among this church family that I was getting to know except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what my church family needed to know more about. And therefore, I needed to get to know him better. Kind of sounds like something I've been asking you all to do for a while. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much tribulation. Yeah, literally. I used to have cotton mouth, not because of meds, because I was scared to death as I stood before the church family to bring a message or to lead them in prayer. And my speech and my messages were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's it, family. You lay before the Lord, you read the word, you pray them through, you pray over them as to how they apply to you, what you should be doing, and people are going to see you change as an individual tremendously, tremendously. And they will see, they will hear through the word of God that you will share with your friends, you will share in your core value team. They'll be wonderfully and marvelously excited about what they see happening in you. And you can tell them, this can happen to you too. I mean, you see up here 7 white roses, and most of you are saying, well, I didn't talk to anyone about the gospel this week, therefore I can't put one of those up there. No one's keeping you from doing that. except you. You. And why are you afraid? Was it because there was absolutely no one in your life who knew, doesn't know the Lord that came your way? I can't believe that, since the majority of us are non-Christians in the United States. For I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration, living it out, action steps of the Spirit and of power, and that your faith might not rest in wisdom of men. You don't just listen to Ron Seidel. You don't listen to just Kathy Seidel. They've got some knowledge. Yes, they do. They know a lot about the Bible. But they are not God the Holy Spirit, and they are not the living, active Word. And here it is for you to be a part of and to live out and to be made alive in and to be used of God the Holy Spirit to change other people's lives. And then you'll join them next week, and all these other white flowers will probably be over here if you're honest about it. And your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You and I need to walk in the power of God. That's what you and I need to be doing. And I've run over past the hour of 12. It's not the first time I've done that, but it will be the last time. So family, the Bible is real. It is alive, as Scripture says, absolutely, totally alive, just as you are. Amen. And it's there to make you men, mighty men, mighty women of God, and to do things you have never dreamt you might do. I never dreamt that I would share the gospel with countless people, much less one. My prayer is He'll never stop using me. May there always be just one more. Just one more. Until I can't say just one more. Anymore. Get it? Let's pray. Abba, thank you so very much for my church family. Thank you so very much for their many, many kindnesses. Thank you for the way you're going to interact with them individually and then bring them together in these core value teams and do tremendous, exciting, marvelous things, all for your glory and your honor, and amaze them as to how they fit into your plan for great and awesome things. So please, Father, may JHCC not only grow numerically, may they grow in the exercise of their spiritual gift mix. May they grow, Father, in seeing that all that they have, that brand new car, that broken down old car they've been driving for years, it all belongs to you, and you gave it to them. And you have never once withdrawn your love from them. You've taken them into new seasons of life, new places to be, so that they may grow in that knowledge and be used of you in the lives of countless numbers of other people. And they will make the difference that you're calling them to make in these lives that are so precious to you, other human beings, Father. So, my Lord, I pray for them. I pray for them They give up the world. They give up the flesh. And tell the devil to go to hell. And make themselves available to you throughout every day, beginning in the morning when they meet with you for direction. For I ask these things in your Son's saving name. Amen.